Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. It is a packed house here at Bar Lines today. We have a studio audience.
We do. We got our friends from California, our friend, the Green Bay fans over there.
And our friend Mike.
All around, our little friend Mike. He's an intern. If anybody's looking for an intern who could really take their business to the next level, contact us and we'll send you Mike Organ's contact number. Mike loves to loves to eat.
I said, Mike, I said that you had to come on the show today because he got Chris Gaines without your permission. So,
yep.
He's going to sue you.
Sue like,
I'm not a part of this.
Well, I have Mr. Blair Durham in my back pocket. Yeah,
that's right.
So I'm not worried about anything that Mike Organ can bring to me.
That's right. So we knew this was going to happen. After the game press conference, Cam Ward gets up and he says, if we keep it a buck, we ass. Basically saying, if we keep doing this and not executing, doing the things we're doing, like, we're not a good team.
Right.
But everybody took that quote and they ran with it.
Yes.
I didn't have a problem with the quarterback being honest. I'm tired of coaches and athletes all the time just with a bunch of BS and lip service. And I appreciate it especially when you're supposed to be one of the star players, to say, hey, we're not very good. And this is why we're not good. This is what we need to do to be good. And we're not doing those things yet. Like, I appreciate honesty. And I know some people have had a problem with it.
The thing was, when Charles Robinson was talking to Robbie and Rexo the day, it was basically, now Cam has become one of the media. He's aired this out loud. You can be critical of your teammates or the performance, but now you're just echoing what everybody else is saying. And maybe that's a younger generation thing of like, here's how we're going to say it, and I'm going to call everybody out and not give any context of how we can get better and just say the blanket, we bad.
It was a long conversation. But here's some of what Charles Robinson said this morning on Robbie and Rex Road.
Tweeting 51% of his passes.
But again, that full quote included his critique of his own performance. That's what I'm saying.
But again, it doesn't matter, Joe. You're still separating yourself. You can still stand up. Come on, Joe. Let's be intellectually honest here.
You to do that.
Okay, well, I'm being intellectually
okay.
honest.
You
can
so
stand
am I.
Up there and say,
one of us is wrong.
Joe, you can stand up there and you can say, "Our organization's terrible right now." But the fact that you're the one standing up there and putting the phrase "we ass" on it is an act of, whether you mean to or not, it's an act of separating yourself from like what's going on emotionally. Like, hey, everybody else is looking at this. There are people who are saying we want Callahan fired. There are people who are saying, you know, burn it to the ground, start over. And when you stand up and you go, hey, if we're keeping it a buck, again, and I'm not disagreeing with the content of what he is saying. I'm just saying, when you're four games in and you're the guy who stands up and says it, again, whether you mean to or not, you are becoming part of the group looking at the Titans and going, this is a trash situation right now.
Here's my thing, though. He's not wrong, he being Cam Ward. Like, we know he's not wrong. And so, like, why do you want to say, well, he doesn't need to be a part of the people, you know, saying these things? Shouldn't he be the number one guy saying these things? He's the quarterback. He's the guy that you drafted number one overall that you are ready to build your franchise around. And look, this is 100% without a doubt speculation. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody. I have no idea. Now he has said, like, Callie's a great play caller and I love Callie and all these things. But I took a seed of doubt. Like, I heard a seed of doubt that it's like, I'm not sure this is the guy. With that press conference, and I think that could be what everybody's worried about, that the quarterback's about to come out and say, yeah, the head coach is not good.
There are so many layers to this.
Right.
And I guess he was just saying, look, you know, we know it's bad. You don't need the quarterback echoing that it's worse than you thought.
Why not, though? Why is everybody, and I'm not saying you, but like, why is everybody afraid of that?
Calling the head coach out.
Calling the whole team out.
As
you're the quarterback. You
4 games in. You're the rookie quarterback. 4 games in.
Right.
You're able to decipher all this and do it.
Okay. Fair. But like, I also hate the argument of, well, he's a rookie. He needs to keep his mouth shut. He's still the quarterback.
Well, I don't think he can keep his mouth shut, but I think the fact that the comment of "we ass" is reflective of his head coach.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's more.
I think
to
it's
this.
The head coach. I think it's the state of the organization right now.
I guess I wanted to hear Rex Road want to fight Charles Robinson.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to
I
hear.
I think I'm more on Rex Road's side on this.
I'm a little Charles Robinson. It's all right though.
Look. I see it. I get both sides of it. But my thing is, I want the quarterback. Because let's just look at this whole thing big picture. It's been a mess for a long time.
Yes, it has.
Have there been bright spots? Yes. But if you look at the whole picture, there's a lot of mess in there.
Right. Yeah.
And we know where it starts. It starts with people with the last name Adams.
Yep.
I mean, that's really where the buck stops and starts. But so for the quarterback who's played 4 games and been here less than a year to basically sit there and say these things should be very – excuse me.
God, you're getting upset.
I can't breathe.
Buddy. Sorry, I know you're passionate about your
thank
team.
Thank you. That should be very telling to people.
So do you think Brian Callahan should have gone to Cam Ward afterwards and said, hey, man, tone down your rhetoric?
If he did, like, Cam should – I'm not condoning for the quarterback to hit the head coach, but, like, I'd want
to – Should he have gone to his quarterback and said, hey, tone it down just a tad?
Okay, so this is the same guy that says, you know, well, Jeff threw a punch at that guy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't throw him out of practice. Like, you think he's going to go to the quarterback, hey, Cam –
I think he did. I think he did go to him and say, hey, we need you on this. We don't need you to tell everybody how bad it is, but we need you on this.
Yeah. I mean, do you go talk to him? Sure. But, I mean, he should be allowed to express himself. And you got him – here's the other thing. You got him in a raw moment. It's 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the game where you just got your butt kicked.
Right.
He played an awful game. As the quarter, the whole team played an awful game, but he was just as awful. And so you got him in a raw moment. He's mad. You can see it. Like, you can read the room, you know, look at him and go, you know, oh, he's ticked off.
Well, I'm looking at if I own a business, a team, and my guy that I invested in gets out there and tells the world in basic terms how terrible it all is, I'd have a problem with that. And I put my in Callahan's shoes. That's just from that angle.
Okay.
I got no problem as a fan or a teammate what he said. But as your boss and you're my guy, I don't like airing dirty laundry.
Fair point. If it wasn't true and you could sit on a lie detector and say that it's not true and that thing not go off, would it bother you?
I don't know.
That's the thing. It's bothering people because they all know it's true.
They
all know he said the truth.
I can also tell you how to get past a lie detector test.
Okay, well, we'll do that in June. But you see what I'm saying? Like, people, most of the time when somebody speaks truth, when they drop the knowledge or whatever, they're like, hey, I'm not holding back. I'm going to tell you the truth. And then somebody gets mad about it.
Right.
They usually get mad about it because they know they're right.
Here's a telltale sign of whether we're wrong or right. If they lose Sunday and his comments are very basic,
yeah,
then somebody's gotten to him.
Well, yeah. And now, look, I have no doubt somebody's talked to him.
And they're terrible again, and he says, we double ass.
Yeah.
After the Cardinals get, then nobody's talked to
him. Hey, if I'm him, you stand on business, sir. I think you, like, get up.
Sound like Willy Wonka.
Get up there.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Get up there and tell the truth again. Like, last week. And look, you know somebody's going to – Mike, have you ever heard of a reporter named Paul Kuharsky? Has he ever shied away from a big topic and asking some – like, don't you think PK is going to follow up and go, well, last week you said this, now you're kind of saying this.
Right.
So, like, now you're the toothpaste is out of the tube. You can get to him and talk to him all you want. But I would say be positive.
Are other players weighing in on this?
Other players have weighed in on this, including Jeffrey Simmons. We'll hear his comments coming up next. We want your comments as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Big Joe. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game.
Cam was pretty blunt in his post-game comments Sunday. What's kind of your reaction to that?
Me and Cam talked about that off record. You know, I'm going to keep that between me and Cam. But, man, day and other day, you know, we 0-4. You know, and when you turn on the tape, you know, everybody going, like I said, Cam have the right to speak how you want to speak to the media. But, you know, I had some advice for him. And, like I said, I keep that off record. But day and other day, you know, we all have a – when these microphones in front of you, you know, they can blow up. You know, just one part of what you're saying. But I think at the end of the day, man, when you turn on the tape, you know, it's the reason why we come in and be like, you know, we right there. It's the reason why we come in and be like, you know, I feel like we have a chance to go win football games on Sundays, because it's the small things that when you get into fourth quarters and we're talking about it, and I'm sure you guys hear from Denard, like, you know, we get into the fourth quarter and start making up things. You know, we're missing too many tackles. You know, he showed us a stat today to where we had two missed tackles in the first half versus in our second half of the games, we got like 35 missed tackles. And that shows, you know, a football team that not doing the things and being held in that stamina into the second half. So I think that's the thing we need to focus on to win football games. And, you know, like I said, it's the reason why I come in and say, you know, we are right there. It's just a small thing we can fix that's going to help us win a football game.
That was Jeffrey Simmons, I believe, yesterday, talking to the media. Good question by Terry McCormick. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. You know, Jeff likes to use the phrase, I'm going to keep that, you know, between us or whatever. But I get it. Like, they had a private conversation, I'm sure. But what were your thoughts on what Jeff said there?
I think he said that because he wants to be traded. That sounds like a leader.
Uh-huh.
So if you play that for, I don't know, for the Eagles brass or the Seahawks, whoever that needs a defensive lineman,
yeah,
you're like, well, this guy's a leader.
Yeah.
Told the quarterback to watch his mouth. He's playing at a high level. That's somebody we need.
Look, I'm going to I'm sorry. I am going to give Jeff some praise. I have seen a noticeable difference in him this year on how he's conducted himself. Now, he had the penalty in Denver that, you know, you obviously need to do better there.
Yeah.
But how he has talked, you know, there's you know, been a couple of things here and there, but I can tell he's trying, you know, to be, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be who you are. And some people are natural-born leaders and some aren't. But, like, he is definitely being more calculated in how he goes about
things. Yeah, and I think that's all part of changing the narrative of how people think about you and what you want to be like, which is fine. I wonder if indirectly he's been approached about being traded. I mean, if we're talking about it,
I would think so.
Maybe to his agent or something. I don't know. But if he comes out, if Jeffrey Simmons comes out and says, I want to be traded, then it looks like he's like abandoning ship. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But if they trade him, he says, hey, I really wanted to be here to make it work. I understand what's going on. It's a 180. It's a 180. How do you feel about him?
I think one of two things could have happened. The most likely one is they go to him and go, hey.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's some rumors out there, you know. And then it kind of goes this way. We have no intentions of trading you. Or it's like, hey, I hope you understand, you know, we might get into a situation where we might need to listen to some things. How do you feel? We want to do right by you. And then the other one could be he's gone to them and asked for a trade, which I don't think so. Or he has said, hey, whatever you guys need to do, you know, I'm with you. I would hope there's some sort of communication, and to me that should be initiated by the team and not by him.
Right, and I think that's, again, that's the narrative. If they come to him and word gets out that they're looking to trade him, he's like, I've fought hard here and I drew my tie in a better light. Now, if you find out that he went them to trade me, you immediately think of a player in a different light. Regardless, trade him.
I want to
– trade Jeffrey Simmons. Get what you can for him right now.
I want to take a moment because I've heard several calls on this show and then other shows on this station. And we even got a text. Like, we got a text, 2765, Big Jeff and a third for A.J. Brown and a fourth. Guys, you need to understand what a rebuild is. Whether you want to admit it or not, this team is in a rebuild. Now, are they doing it right, doing it wrong? Time will tell. But when you're in a rebuild, as much as you would love to have, you know, Edward called into Jake's show and was like, you know, if we still had A.J. Brown and we still had Derrick Henry, you're right. You're in a different position. But you don't. And, you know, we've talked about the A.J. trade till we're blue in the face. Derrick Henry wanted to leave. You have to accept that. The time had run its course. They mutually were like, it's time.
Yeah.
We love you. You're not – but I mean, he wanted to go win a championship, and it just realistically wasn't going to happen in the time frame for him here. So that's why he went to Baltimore.
I know you laughed.
So everyone needs to get out of this, oh, bring this guy back, or, oh, let's sign this guy. You're not close to winning.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of the A.J. Brown, so that's the first I heard
about
it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just it's general, like –
Right, but I'm telling you, I know you laughed at the John Robinson post yesterday.
Oh.
A lot of Titans fans not happy with that. I'm telling you right now, a lot of them, for those who don't know, John Robinson posted a picture of him and his wife. It's their anniversary. He did a hashtag, I guess it's still my fault. You know,
hashtag we ass.
Yeah. If you know, you know. And I think a lot of Titans fans will never forgive John Robinson. They're never going to forgive him for that. They're never going to say. And the fact that he makes light of it really enraged some Titans fan yesterday. And I completely understand that.
I get it, but I laugh too. Because, again, and I'm guilty of it too. As sports fans, there are times, a lot of times, we see what we want to see. It's Willie Donick.
Oh, my gosh, it is.
It's not Willie Donick.
That is him.
No, it's not.
It looks just like Willie.
You're trying to deflect about sorry, John Robinson.
I think it's
a bad look.
We see.
That's me.
It doesn't bother me. I laughed. Because I think he gets – does he deserve some of the blame? Absolutely, 100%. Not denying that. Does he deserve all of it? No.
Not all of it, but he deserves – yeah.
I mean,
but if I'm a fan, I'm invested, and I see the former general manager, like, I guess it's still my fault. I get the upset. The
people, but I guess this is where I get defensive of John, and I get, you know, I've gotten defensive of Floyd on this. Everybody wants to remember the bad, the screw ups, but they don't want to remember him taking over a 2-14 team and drafting guys like Derrick Henry and Jack Conklin and Kevin Byard and A.J. Brown and then them going to an AFC championship game and having the number one seed. I mean, he doesn't get any credit for that, but he gets all the blame for the screw-ups. It's got to go both ways with me. That's just – like, does he deserve criticism? Sure, absolutely. But don't forget the good stuff that your team had, too.
I 100% agree.
That he was a part of. It's not all Vrabel. It was a team thing.
Yep.
So that's just that's my thing. And, you know, back to the comments, like, I think he's going to be, you know, Cam Ward's going to be more calculated moving forward. He's going to learn that. That's going to come with time. But at the same time, I want him to be honest, and I want, like, the head coach is honest, like, you know, whether he's good at it or not. But, you know, I want them to be a lot more outspoken than the Vrabel era.
Well, it's going to get worse now with this football team because I don't think they win on Sunday in Arizona. And they might beat the Raiders because the Raiders are starting to implode themselves. But what happens after this week? More comments, more – I'm telling you, if Cam Ward comes out and says, hey, we just got to play better, they've gotten to him. If he goes out there and really opens up again like he did after Houston, then nobody's gotten to him.
Dr. Crane just texted us. I want you to say this on the air because I think you just made a really good point about the John Robinson post.
I think he's found closure. I think he finds the humor and all the yep. satire and all this, and he's still getting paid through 2027 draft. So let's just remember
that. He is. But I got that sense when he came and spent an hour with us and we talked to him, mm-hmm. and we've chatted a little bit since then. I think he is in a much better place.
Okay.
And yeah, there is closure. Because at the end of the day, he can't change anything.
No, but I think it's a bad look if you want to get another job as a GM. I just do. You sure. look at that stuff
but
now.
I don't.
Like, oh,
I mean,
okay.
Who knows if he wants to get another job as a GM?
I agree. But if you're thinking he wants the job,
like,
as
would
a GM,
you? Would you like if you went through? You look at his entire tenure as general manager here, and especially how it ended. Would you want to go do that again?
Absolutely. You know why? I don't want to be remembered for that.
Well, that's fair.
That's me. I mean,
and look, that's where I'll defend him even more because I thought he had enough equity and done enough good that he should have been given an opportunity to fix it. And she didn't give him that opportunity. She fired him midseason and didn't give him the opportunity. Could you have made the – look, I've said this. You could have made the argument at the end of the season to make the change. But if they had won the division again, which were they were on track to do,
right.
and have a winning record –
anything could have happened.
It would have been really hard for me to fire the general manager.
And what did they say? We'll reevaluate everything at the end of the season. The fact that you fire – I mean, still, that's the – worst moment for this team. They've been here. Fire your general manager. Yeah, A.J. Brown showed you up. I get all that. But the fact you fired him now, it makes you, Amy, even worse than anything else.
If she had come out and said, look, I fired him because A.J. Brown beat the you-know-what out of us, yeah. I would have been like, hey, at least she's being honest.
There we go. I'm with you, man.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, our Metro Schools Game of the Week presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Center is tonight at 6:30 over at Stratford High School. East Nashville going to take on Stratford. That's a big rivalry game. We'll talk to both coaches. Coming up next, 102.5 The Game. Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines getting ready for the Metro Schools Game of the Week presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers tonight. I'll have coverage for you with Coach Bubba Spears starting at 6:30. Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane on the sidelines as well, who's done a really good job with that. And I believe we're going to even have an appearance in the house by one Big Joe Dubin.
I hear. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Nashville's media.
Looking forward to that. Let's say hello to Damian Harris, who joins us on the program now. And, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Appreciate you joining us. So, your East Nashville squad, how do you feel about your group as you get to past the halfway mark of the season?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. We had a tough beginning, but I got a lot of young guys that had to grow up real fast, and I think it's starting to gel a little bit now.
Do you feel like it's almost a tale of two seasons going from non-district to district play?
Always. The main thing with the non-district games, you want to come out those games healthy, so you can be prepared for your district game.
So going into Stratford tonight, I guess you look at it, it's a short week, you know, playing on a Thursday night. Rivalry game. What's kind of the feel of your group going into Stratford?
Like you said, it's a rivalry game. So the main thing is just making sure the kids are focused on football and not the extra stuff like social media and things of that sort. But Stratford, well-coached team, Coach Law always got a physical bunch. So we know we got to come out and give it all.
Talking to Coach Harris over at East Nashville. Coach, neighborhood games, rivalry games are to a next level. What does it mean to the student body in the neighborhood
about this football game, because you talk about East, you're talking about Stratford. These are two long rivalries here in Nashville.
Yeah, I'm glad we was able to get the game, because a lot of Metro teams don't play each other. So having this rivalry that goes back, like you said, for years and years and years, is great, not only for the teams, but it's good for the community as well. And it shows teams outside of the Metro that we can also bring big crowds and have great games as well.
What kind of relationship do you and Coach Law have?
Oh, me and Coach Law, we get along pretty good. We joke around a lot with each other. We talk here and there. But other than that, I've coached against him a long time ago, so we kind of know each other pretty well.
Coach, what does it mean to see the Metro schools and the turf and all the upgrades to the different stadiums and just all this time and effort being put into to Metro athletics? How important is that?
I think it's real important. For one, we try to keep up with some of the private schools. That way they can't steal our kids because they have turf fields and the better facilities. So getting turf fields in all the Metro schools, I think that was a plus. And then, you know, it shows the kids that Metro is looking out not only for your school, but also for athletics as well. So I think it helps us a lot, especially at East Nashville. We don't even have a practice field to practice on, so the turf made it easy where we could practice and play.
Coach, I always thought that Thursdays playing high school football was so important because that's your walkthrough day. You get to do everything, make sure your second team backup long snapper knows where to go. You don't have that this week. That's moved up a day. How much different is practice and preparation for a game when you have to play on a Thursday?
Yeah, playing on a Thursday is a little difficult. Like you said, having high school kids, they already make a lot of mistakes. So trying to get the timing as well as different situations, you lose a day, which hurts a lot. And just as you said, not only your first team, but your second team doesn't get as many reps as you would like. So you're losing a lot on that. And then playing a team, a rivalry game, in a short week is definitely a headache.
Oh, I get it. Also, Coach, I'll be at the game tonight. If you need a pep talk for the team, just let me know. I'll come over and talk to him.
Hey, I might need a pep talk and another player. Yeah.
You got it, Coach.
Coach, best of luck tonight. We're looking forward to being there and calling the game. Thanks so much for doing this.
All right, thank you.
That Coach Harris joining us now from East Nashville, and appreciate him. We're efforting Coach Anthony Law from Stratford. But, again, tonight at 6:30, we'll start pregame. Kickoff just after 7 as Stratford takes on East Nashville. Stratford at 2-2. They have not started district play yet, and East Nashville, as we mentioned, 1-4, but 1-0 in their district. And I'll ask you the same. I'll make you play analyst for a second, because we'll use this tonight probably.
Sure.
District play is – non-district play, as he said, you want to be healthy, you want to come out of that. District play is truly where the season starts.
Here's my thing. You want to win every game.
Sure.
Every game. You want to win every game. You don't go into it. We never went into like, oh, that's a region game. Not. You want to win games. But, yes, you want to be able to go – you can go 5-5, but if you go 5-0 in the region and beat the other teams, you're in the playoffs. So that's why East Nashville might sit there 1-4. They played Springfield. They've got a tough schedule they've got going through. But it you got to play who you can only schedule, right? So, but when you get in region play, those are guaranteed games. You play those and win those. So, yeah, those are a little different and spicy. That's a neighborhood rivalry. I wanted to add, though, as Nashville has changed throughout the decades, the core of the city are high schools like Stratford and Maplewood and McGavick and East, because that's the fiber of Davidson County.
Yep.
You got a game tonight from Stratford and East Nashville that goes back, I don't know, Mike, 40, 50, 60 years? Easily? Back,
Stratford and East?
Yeah. 70 years.
No, 1970.
I'm sorry, 1970. Yeah. 55 years. that rivalry's been going. The city has changed so much, but these rivalry neighborhood high school games in Nashville are still here, and they're still important. And it pisses me off that the communities don't back these schools. Yeah. People in Stratford tonight should be at that game. People in East Nashville should go to the games. Go support these kids, these communities. That's how you build this.
I also don't, you know, I used to study this a lot more, and I just kind of gave up on it. But I understand you want, you have the different classifications. You have right. single A, double A, triple A, you know, all those things. But, like, explain to me this district with Stratford. White House Heritage, Westmoreland, White's Creek, and then Maplewood.
It is enrollment, and you try to put the schools' enrollment size as close as you can to each other without travel. I mean, there's one district. I think Giles County has to travel to play Sequatchie County, which is halfway across the state.
Right.
That's a region game.
Right.
It shouldn't be that way.
No, it should be geographical.
Yes, it should be a lot better that way. But I like the fact that Stratford plays Maplewood and White's Creek. Look, I'm a big Metro Schools guy. I played football at Metro School. I love it, all that stuff. So this is what I do.
Let's bring in the head coach of the Stratford Spartans, Anthony Law, who is on the line with us now. Coach, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. East Nashville tonight, a rivalry game. Obviously, it's the next game, but is there something extra special with playing a rival?
Yeah, all the excitement that goes on around the school and between the two neighborhoods and, you know, and now with social media, you can just imagine all the good things and the bad things that go on.
Do you feel like looking at your team, you know, at this point in the season, past the halfway mark, do you feel like you're dialed in and battle-tested?
Not yet. I think that we'll be battle-tested after tonight.
Coach, we're talking to Coach Law at Stratford. We talked to Coach Harris at East. He talked about losing a day of preparation. What does that mean for you, Coach? Because Thursday is always an important day of walkthroughs and making sure people lined up correctly. How does that approach have to work now when you back everything up a day?
You really can't add a lot of stuff, not for us at least. We just have to go with what we got. And since we've lost a day, you know, you can't spend a whole day trying to put a bunch of new stuff in and you don't have the time.
With that being said, tonight, how do you approach tonight's game? I mean, do you keep it pretty simple, basic for your team? Because you talk about not adding a bunch of things and just stick to what you guys know, what you guys believe in?
Yes, we're going to do just that, and then we're going to we must block and we must tackle.
Coach, what would it be like to look out tonight and see that whole community behind you show up at the football game?
Well, that would be nice if the community does show up. We're excited. We're expecting a good crowd to come watch both teams play. We got new bleachers, so we got somewhere for everyone to sit. So we should be excited.
Along those lines, I asked this to Coach Harris. What does it mean to see the commitment that Metro Schools has to athletics with the turf fields, new bleachers, renovating a lot of these stadiums? I mean, I've been to a few of these now doing these games, and these are top-notch facilities. That has to be special.
Oh, we love it. We love it. I tell our guys all the time, we don't have excuses. We have everything we need to do whatever it is we need to do here. We just have to commit to it and make it happen for ourselves.
No doubt about it. Coach, best of luck tonight. We're looking forward to being there and doing this game. Thanks so much for doing this.
All right, go Stratford, PD.
Absolutely. That is Anthony Law joining us from Stratford. And, again, you can hear that game on 102.5 The Game with coverage beginning at 6:30. I'll be joined by Coach Bubba Spears, Nick Frazier on the sideline, and who knows, you might make an appearance
right.
as well.
Why don't we just bring him up? He's here. Instead of 2 o'clock, bring him up at 1:45.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Let's do that.
We'll do it.
Mike Organ of
Come
the
on,
Tennessean
Mike.
Is going to join us. Coming up next is Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni, 102.5 The Game.
Heisman tie-in. Pavia, Jaber.
Your little paper you were.
We love them all.
If you want to see his jokes, just read his column. That's all you got to do. He's a good man. He does a good job.
Oh, my goodness.
When I covered Vanderbilt basketball back in the day, they wouldn't have anybody.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And now the great Mike Organ from the Tennessean joins us now.
Thanks for bringing me up, guys. I was I finished my lunch, so I was ready to come up and join your crazy conversation. You've hit on some good topics today.
Well, you figure the sooner you join the show, the sooner you get to leave.
That's true, too.
Right. I like your one bar microphone. You look like Gary Anderson when he kicked for the Titans that one year.
They could use Gary Anderson back after last week.
Yeah, they could. You've covered prep sports around here for a long time. To see, you know, and this is a labor of love that Greg Pogue really undertook to do this Metro Game of the Week and things, and it's been really cool for me to go to all these schools, especially seeing, you know, with Coach Bubba Spears, who's, you know, coached forever and sees how much they fixed them up and the turf fields and stuff. It's nice to see that effort be put into these programs.
It's amazing, and it's the first positive. These two things, the turf and this station starting to do a Metro Public Schools Game of the Week each week, are the two biggest things that's happened in Metro in 30 years, maybe longer. It had gotten so bad, guys. I was worried they were going to have to start doing co-op teams. I was thinking that, you know, they might have to start putting Maplewood and Whites Creek together just to get a team together, Glencliff and Antioch. It got really bad about 5 years ago. You remember Glencliff basically was going to forfeit the rest of the season because they didn't have enough players to get them through. And then the embarrassment got some kids to come out and they were able to finish. But you think of where it was then and where it is now with the turf and what you guys are doing, I'm very excited and looking forward to tonight. Stratford was always my favorite stadium. It was a little nostalgic, a little sad when I saw them tear down the bleachers. They were iconic orange and black alternating bleachers.
Yeah.
And I talked to Denny Boguski, whose father built Stratford, all of Stratford's everything. He was the head of the men's club out there and the quarterback club, Buster Boguski. And he was like, Mike, those things have been there since 1960. He goes, you know, if anybody should be sad, it should be me. He said, I was tired of repainting them every year. He said, now they're going to bring in the kind that don't have to be repainted. He said, I'm not sad. If I'm not sad, you shouldn't be sad. So, looking forward. I haven't seen – I think the bleachers are being put in today.
Joe, could you adjust your camera for a second?
I can see it.
Mike.
Oh, okay, my bad. My bad, man. Sorry.
On my drive-in, you guys were saying the after – yeah, we're talking about the after-hours show on my drive-in. I didn't know it started at 1.
Right. My bad. Look, I have radio. This whole – streaming and YouTube nonsense. I wouldn't be able to see you guys.
I just look at
the
digital. I saw you real good, Joe.
That Dr. Crane, keep it down. So let me ask you this, Mike. Where did it all go wrong? Because I'm telling you, and I know back when I played, we had packed houses.
Yours was the very end of the good old days. What was that? 88.
Mid-80s.
88, 89. That was the end. The NIL, the old National Interscholastic League, folded in 1984. What that was all the national teams were split into two districts, one on one side of the river, one on the other side of the river, or on each side of I-40.
Was that public and private?
Yes, because BGA was in the NIL.
Right.
Mount Juliet was in the NIL. Hendersonville was in the NIL. NBA was in. Good Pasture was in when they came in.
FRA?
FRA was in. So they were split by the interstates or the river, either one, and the rivalries were intense. East rivalry was with Litton, which was about 5 miles down the road on Gallatin Road. Litton closed in 1970. Stratford had opened in 61, but they hadn't played East. So when Litton closed, Stratford and East started playing to establish a new rivalry, and that became a rivalry. I checked it yesterday. Stratford and East are 3.4 miles apart from each other.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it's a natural rivalry. So
like Antioch-Cane Ridge.
Absolutely, yeah. So around that time is when the TSSAA came in and started all this region stuff and put White's Creek in a region with Henry County and moved all – Hunter's Lane was in that, and Hunter's Lane, which had become the old Madison. So when they started doing that, they took away the rivalries, and that's when it all started right
Well,
there.
I mean, like when I was in McGavick, half of our zone was from Antioch, Priest Lake area. They all got zoned here, and that all changed, and they opened enrollment – and kids bouncing from school to school. There's no community support, and it drives me insane. So I'll tell you why. People are like, well, you know, high school football, it's, you know, kind of losing its ump here and there. No. Go to Gordonsville. Go yes. go to Gallatin. Go to Green Hill. Go to these schools out in the country. Packed.
Yep.
I know they're, but they got community support. Nobody gives a damn about high school football metro, and it drives me crazy. And I will die on that hill.
And they continue. I just found out yesterday, speaking of McGavick, the Charles Davis area where he has where Charles Davis is from, Napier,
yeah,
now goes to Glencliff. They McGavick lost that region, that area this year.
Yeah, some of the inner city neighborhoods were, you know, it's with the McGavick, with other places like that, it's all cheating. But they kept messing around with it, screwing with
it. And they're still doing it today, even today. That's what I'm saying. Bubba Spears told me that. He goes, just think about it. Charles Davis would not have gone to McGavick today. And Charles Davis led McGavick to a state championship in its third year as a school, or fourth year
a
school.
Sure did, yeah.
And, yeah, just leave things alone. I mean, and they've closed 18 high schools. That was another thing, and I should have mentioned that, was the comprehensive high schools that were built. McGavick was one of them. Hunter's Lane. Those schools were built, and that's when they started closing down the neighborhood schools. DuPont closed my school when McGavick opened. I mean, not right away. It eventually did, and then all of DuPont's.
So let me ask you this. Was it a mistake to shut down Madison, DuPont, and Goodlettsville?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You could have still had the comprehensive high schools.
And, well, before, a bit before that, but yes.
Yeah. 18 schools have been closed since 1963. I looked it up last for a story I did this week on the Stratford East rivalry, actually. You could still have the – I don't have a problem with the comprehensive high schools because they majored they gave an opportunity for trades. For students to, you know, working to become plumbers or whatever, mechanics, and we needed that.
Radio hosts.
Radio hosts. Exactly.
Bad radio hosts.
Deck builders. Didn't you used to build decks?
Oh, that's right. I did do that, yeah. But, you know how I got to McGavick? I was zoned to DuPont. And so then you had to take it. The school you wanted to go to had to offer a class that the school you were zoned to didn't. McGavick has a planetarium. So we all took astronomy, and then it evolved into aerospace. That's how all us McGavick kids, we were all zoned to DuPont. And I know this is a lot of inside football stuff for those who moved here, but it's important because it turned into what it is today.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, the problem that we got with all this.
Well, yep. And that's and we lost all our rivalries, all our neighborhood rivalries are gone now. I mean, Stratford in the East, matter of fact, that's why I did this story that came out today. Are one of the very few that still exist.
Yeah.
And like I said a while ago, I think the first time they played was in 70, and then Litton closed in 71. So they saw that closing, and when they saw that closing, they said, we got to have a new rivalry.
And I know this, and one more thing real quick. How powerful was Litton in the 40s, 50s, and 60s? That place was a powerhouse.
Litton was absolutely a state power, not just a Metro Nashville. Well, Metro Nashville wasn't even around at that. Metro wasn't around at that time. I think that came in the early 60s. But anyways, in the old days, like you're talking about, the 30s and 40s and 50s, Litton was an absolute power across the state, and definitely in Nashville. My father was a quarterback at East in 58, and they tied Litton 19-19, I believe. I know that was his number. I hope I'm not getting that confused. Anyway, they tied Litton, and that was the highlight of his high school career, was tying Litton. Not even winning a game, but tying Litton on homecoming was the highlight of his career. And Litton had such a wonderful setup because the school surrounded – it wrapped around, it made a horseshoe around the field. The gym was in one end zone. a building, the main building was on this end zone, and then another building, I think it was actually the junior high, was across the back. So it was all encapsulated. It was a great atmosphere. I never experienced it, but I feel like I have because I've heard so much about it.
We're excited to have Mike with us for a big portion of the show. We'll continue the Nashville sports discussion with Mike Organ of the Tennessean. Coming up next in hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.